Joining me on the show this morning is comedian Bert Kreischer, and I want to thank you specifically for speaking to me this morning, because last time we were supposed to speak, you were somewhere puking your brains out. What happened with that, man?
Oh, I got food poisoning.
Oh, sure. That's what everyone says when they're hungover.
No, yeah, I wish. I've never thrown up from being hungover, ever. If anything, I just have another beer. This was the worst. I was on a bender. I weighed myself that morning, and I was 258, the fattest I've ever been. And I was like, screw it. Let's get to 260. And I must have eaten everything. I mean, my body was like a house party that had 1,000 people in it. And then at the end of the night, it was like, who stole my wallet? I was like, I don't know, man. We ate everything.
So you just ate too much, or was there something specific that, like, did you wrong?
Oh, I had pasta bolognese. I had sushi. I had 2 beers in a TBS pitch meeting with Reese's Peanut Butter Cups and Reese's Pieces. I went to Claim Jumpers. I had ice cream sandwiches. And then I washed it all down with Tito's and soda. And in the middle of the night, I was like, oh, I don't feel good. And I got up. And I vomited aggressive. I mean, I broke all the ruptured, all the blood vessels in my eyes. Threw the first time up in the toilet, then I threw up in the sink, and my poor wife came in. She's like, what am I supposed to do? I was like, just get a fork and jam it down the drain. That woman has earned her life insurance policy check when I die.
Yeah, no, seriously, she's a keeper. You don't ever let her go. But I have to tell you, what you just explained, all of those things that you ate in that single day,
yeah.
You lived my dream, man. I have to think about every single thing I consume, because if I look at a piece of cake wrong, it ends up on my ass, like in the form of 6 extra pounds. So the fact that you went to town on sushi, pasta bolognese, Reese's peanut butter cups, oh my God. I'm guessing it was so worth it, though?
I couldn't help my... No, I wish... Well, the best part is I woke up the next morning, or 2 days later, and I was like 12 pounds lighter. And I was like, all right, we jump-started a diet. Let's get this.
Best diet ever. Well, we like you just the way you are. I should mention, Bert is bringing the Body Shots World Tour to the Warfield Theater right here in the city, Thursday, September 12th. You can get your tickets to Bert's show at BertBertBert.com. You're not dieting, though. We can expect the same old Bert at the show at the Warfield, right?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, I wish I could diet. I wish I could be that guy. But, yeah, I'm going to look the same way I always look. Even at my most in shape, I still look fat. So,
is your shirt off right now?
What's that?
Is your shirt off right now?
I'm naked right now.
Are you? So I don't think I've ever seen a photo or video of you with a shirt on. I don't know. So I just imagine.
There's very few out there. It's so funny. Like I'll be like in an airport and someone will recognize me and ask for a photo. And it always happens. Right before we take it, they go, hey man, I just got to ask, can you take your shirt off? I'm like, oh, we're in an airport.
So people just ask you to take your shirt off in public. That's so rad.
100%.
I mean, now if I ever meet you in public, which hopefully I will, I'm going to hope your shirt's just already off. But please don't ask me to take off my shirt, because that could get uncomfortable.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny with, like, my shirt taking off happened, you know, like, the special blew up in the whole Me Too era.
Right.
And so it's so funny. I was very cognizant of, like, the differences between men and women, because, like, men inevitably just take their shirt off, and they're like, yo, bro, take your shirt off. And then if you take your shirt off for a picture, they grab you, and they don't ask. They just grab your chest. Dude, they do whatever they want to you.
You're not allowed to touch females like
women
that.
Women always ask first. They're like, is it okay if... And you're like, oh, that's the difference between men and women right there.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It is a sensitive time, but I promise I won't make you feel uncomfortable if you ever have your shirt off around me. I'm also a big fan of, like, listen, I'm not one of those people that can walk around without my shirt on. Like, I'm protective of my nipples. But I don't have any problem with women who are posting photos of their nipples on social media or that want to walk around topless. I think it's a total double standard. But, you know, like you said, it's 2019. Everything is freaking sensitive. Has it changed your comedy at all? Or do you just say, fuck it, I'm gonna do what I do and stick with it?
Well, I stick with it. There's, you know... This sounds silly from a comic to say, but it's okay to listen and learn. It's okay to hear people's, hear people's gripes with language. That's totally cool. And if you grow because of it, that's awesome. But then there's also a part where you're like, yo, I can't be too concerned with the uber sensitive, the people that are looking just to get you in trouble, the tattletales in life that want to see you slip up, so that they can start a hashtag so that they can get followers. Those people are disgusting to me. I have a joke about it right now. if I offend you on my show, I understand that's the price I pay, is that I run the risk of offending people. I understand that. And I can have the conversation with someone who's been offended. I can. And I can listen and hear you out, and I hope you listen and hear me out. Mm-hmm. The people I don't like are the people who get offended on behalf of somebody. And you're like, bro, it didn't even bother you. That is snitch behavior.
Yeah, that's like secondhand offended.
Yeah, it's like, it didn't bother me, but I know someone that probably would be offended if they were here, and they interpreted it the exact same way I did. You're like, no, that's not how it works.
People are professionally offended in 2019, and it kind of sucks, but...
It really does suck, but, you know... I think the boat's swinging back the other way right now, and I think that common sense is taking over, and people are realizing how small the majority is and how little offense matters when you're in a world where real things happen, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you. It's a quick little sidetrack. I was looking at your—I was totally cyber-stalking you on Twitter, and I saw that you commented on the boxing match last week, Andy Ruiz TKO of Anthony Joshua, and
yeah.
I couldn't help but draw a parallel— to you and Andy Ruiz.
we are both elite athletes in a competitive eater's body.
Did you see that fight and see him knock the shit out of Anthony Joshua and think, I could do that, man. I got a shot.
Bro, I ran the LA Marathon last year with no training whatsoever. Drank the night before, showed up and ran it in 5 hours and 33 minutes. And it was amazing the people that gave me props and the people that were angered by it, because people believe in order to achieve things you need to work hard and commit your body to excellence and lose weight and be chiseled, and you're like, no, you just got to get lucky every now and then. That's just, what did Rogan say? Weird stuff happens when people get punched in the head.
It's so true. So wait a minute, let's backtrack again. You ran the goddamn LA Marathon in under 6 hours with no training?
No training whatsoever. I just showed up and did it.
So do you exercise at all? Like, I know that the whole thing is that you look the way you look, and I think you look great, by the way. But, you know, you don't pride yourself on hitting the gym 7 days a week. Did you really go into it without any type of, like, pre-jog or anything the week before?
I told my friends, I said, yeah, I work out. And they're like, you don't work out. I was like, well, no, of course I do. Like, I mean, I don't work out the way you guys do, but I work out the way regular people do. I get on the elliptical. I get on the treadmill. You know, I'll go to a spin class every now and then. And their whole thing was, you don't work out, you're not in shape, you couldn't do anything like run a marathon. And I was like, I could definitely run a marathon. I was like, I can definitely run a marathon. And they're like, you can't run a marathon. And I was like, no, I bet I could run it in under 6 hours. And they were like, impossible. And they were like, you couldn't run it in under 6 hours and 45 minutes. And I was like, I definitely can. And so I just went out and did it, you know.
Did you make a bet? Did you guys have a bet on the line or anything?
No, I didn't. I didn't make a bet.
Oh, come on, man.
I know. It was with Joe Rogan, Ari Shaffir, and Tom Segura. And I never made the official bet, because the official bet was Tom Segura thought he could roller skate a marathon faster than I could run it. And I was like, when was the last time you roller skated? And he was like, I've never roller skated. And I was like, so you think you can learn how to do something for 26 miles quicker than I know how to do something? And he was like, yeah, good call. That's a bad idea.
Yeah, he would have ended up breaking some bones if he did that. But so the difference, though, is I firmly believe that roller skating and rollerblading do not go hand in hand. I think if you throw a dude on rollerblades, he can figure it out. But, like, there's something about those eight wheels total lined up like vehicles that just fucks you up, man. I don't touch roller skates.
Roller skating is a night and day different process than rollerblading.
Yeah.
And you come out, if you roller skate... I went roller skating with my daughters, and we went roller skating for like 30 minutes, and we were exhausted, we were gassed, our ankles hurt, mm-hmm. our toes hurt, parts of my legs, like behind my knee hurt. It's a totally different muscle.
Isn't that strange? And then you hop on rollerblades, and you're just like gliding through the streets. It's, I don't know, there's something so much simpler about it. So if he would have made that bet and said, I bet I could rollerblade through a marathon faster than you could run, do you think it would have had the same response?
Oh, he would have. What would have happened was he would have taken off fast, like the rabbit in the hare.
Right,
and
right.
He would have gotten like 3 miles down the road, 5 miles down the road, and he said, you know what, I need to take a break. And he would have taken his first break, and when he started up again, he would have gone a lot slower. And then that next break would have been after 2 miles. Mm-hmm. And then he'd be like, okay, we'll just go a mile and then break, and then a mile and then a break. And at 15 miles, I would have jogged past him. And he would have been like, okay, this doesn't make any sense. How come I'm losing? And then he would have panicked. And that's when he would have started going really hard. And that's when he would have fallen his first time. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you fall, game over.
Yeah,
game over.
So you also seem like the type of guy that you're not going to be told no. Like once you set your mind to it, you're like, well, now I'm running this marathon. So once the conversation even arose, I think it was probably a done deal. You already had it in the bag.
Oh, yeah. I'm one of those people that I go, I thrive on talking trash, and I thrive on a great competition. So the second I go, I'm doing it, it's just my mind switches over, and I go, I'm doing it. And even when I was at the marathon, I was like, I never had any question that I wasn't going to finish it. I was like, I just got to put one foot in front of the other foot for the entire day. I go, this is where I'm going to be for the next 6 hours. I was like, I'm just going to be putting my feet in front of each other. It's amazing. You draw like, this is going to sound really horrific, but I go, dude, the Trail of Tears, those people didn't train for it, and they walked like states. Mm-hmm. I was like, just do it. This is physically possible. And then at mile 20, the woman in front of me shit her pants, and I was like, okay, this isn't possible. I was like, I can see why people quit. Oh, my God.
That happens all the time.
My legs seized up, and I was like, this is impossible. But you just keep putting feet in front of each other. Dude, I got beat by a kid with cerebral palsy. So, yeah,
good for him.
It's doable.
Yeah. Like, let's just get real for a second. When we do fun interviews like this, I have a list of things that your people tell me about you, and I can't even keep up. I'm like, okay, he does 2 podcasts, which I knew about. You obviously have your comedy special. You're touring. So let's be real. When you have to get up and do interviews like this, what comes next throughout the day after you get this crap out of the way? Do you just have like back-to-back crap that you get to do? Or are you done working for today and you get to go spend time with your daughters? What's on the agenda?
Oh, no. I go to, I'm going to take a nap at 10:30 to 11:30. I'm going to work out from noon till 2. And then at 3 o'clock, I'm going to Rogan's and we're doing a podcast, me, Tom, and Ari, to figure out our next Sober October challenge.
Oh, tell me about the Sober October challenge.
We don't know what it's going to be yet. The first time we did hot yoga, we each did 15 hot yogas in a month. That was fun because we were all on the same team. There was no competing against each other. We were all trying to get through one thing. And then last year, we wore heart rate monitors for the month, and we had to figure out who kept their heart rate the highest through the entire month. And that was, ungodly. And it was so competitive. We were talking trash to each other all the time. Joe got over way involved. Like, Joe, like, lost it. Almost shut down his kidneys. Me and Tom, I lost, like, 3 toenails. And so this year, we got to come up with something that's fun, that's even, that all of us suck at, so that we can see who can win.
Maybe it should be a roller skating competition.
Well, let me tell you something. Yeah, the problem is, I'm a much better roller skater than those guys.
Oh, yeah, I guess you all have to be on the same part. See, I love challenges like that, especially when you've got people that you're competing alongside of instead of like directly against. But so do you do this for charity?
We've never done it for charity. We've never really tried to include anyone into it because the second, like, I think the reason we love it is because no one tells us what to do.
Yeah.
And the second you're going to get involved with anyone, they're going to start going, hey, man, like St. Jude's is a great charity.
Yeah.
But you can't do anything with them if anything, like curse words and alcohol is involved. And so like I tried to give them this money for this thing and they're like, yeah, we can't take your money because you drink or whatever. And I was like, all right.
Oh gosh.
I know. And you're
That's
like,
so
okay,
tough.
Never like, mind. I guess I'll just keep it.
Just let me be nice, right?
Yeah. It's like, so any corporate company gets super confusing the second you involve them. So we just do it with ourselves. We do it with the fans. We try to inspire the fans to do it along with us. A month of no booze or drugs. I'll come out healthier in November, and maybe, you know, everyone learns something, like, new about themselves, you know? That's it.
Yeah. No, a month, people always think, oh, a month with no booze or no weed or no drugs or whatever. Oh, it's so easy, but it's really not. Like, I tried to go a month, well, I guess I did, but I do a segment on the show called Good News, Good Brews, where I drink a craft beer every Wednesday morning on the morning show. So I couldn't abandon that because that's part of my job. But yeah, it was really tough, and I'm not even a big drinker. I'm like 30 days with no alcohol. How do people do this for the rest of their life?
I don't know how they do it for the rest of their lives. That would give me a panic attack. Like, I can do it for a month, but if you told me never again, I'd be like, op. abort.
That's tough, man. But I applaud you guys for doing the fun challenge, and I'd love to hear what it is when you come up with it, because I will be at your show at the Warfield September 12th. Bert is bringing his Body Shots World Tour to the Bay Area, and you can get your tickets at BurtBurtBurt.com. You can also check out, God, you have so many things going on. You've got your YouTube channel. You've got the BurtCast, your Open Tabs podcast. Oh, my God. Are links to everything up at BurtBurtBurt.com?
Yeah. If you go to BurtBurtBurt.com, you can find everything from there.
All right, cool. Well, we're really looking forward to you coming to town, and thanks for taking time out of your morning to hang out with me, all right?
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Take it easy, dude. See you soon.
All right, later.